I was discussing with the people, giving emphasis to the teaching of history and to the teaching of a Portuguese syntax, Brazilian syntax. That is, I think that it's impossible. Impossible, no, but it is absolutely important for the working class to get the sense, meaning, feeling of their identity, to command a little bit the history of the country, the history of the struggle of the working class, and they start that a lot, geography and their language. They have to command more or less well the syntax which the professors command and the politicians, because through language is also an instrument of domination, an instrument of domination. And they need to know the syntax, the so-called dominant language, in order to fight better. Then, this is how I see this kind of a struggle, and also some tasks for popular educators. Look, history, no matter the system is capitalist, the system is socialist, this is no matter the system, history is made by women and men, and not by angels. If it is made by men and women, I think that we have all these things as possibilities. Because of that, the best definition for history is possibility.
I was going to say that, Paola, that you've also in your book helped us to understand how that happens and the dangers of that happening. And so to be able to name that danger is also a way of avoiding it. I was trying to find the passage here, but I know that that is one of the particular bits of insight that has, you know, set many of us off on a whole new area of exploration.
Yes, there is another very interesting thing, which is ideological. For example, we always think about the dangers, the risks, which a revolution runs. But we never speak about the reasons, the terrible reasons for, because of what we need the revolution. Do you see that? When we just speak about the dangers, the risks of the revolution, instead of speaking about the concreteness of today, I don't want to think about the possible revolution in Brazil the next century in order to see how the people are being exploited. Because today they are being exploited. I don't have to think about it. What can happen. What can happen is future, which I have to do, I have to make. Do you see? Then there is a responsibility of each of us concerning what can happen in a revolution. But ideology is very strong, really. Ideology creates lots of traps. One of the serious challenge for revolutionaries. When I say revolutionaries, I am not just speaking about those who have guns, but those who, in not having gun today, know that maybe tomorrow need to have. You see, this is it. Realistically. But I'm speaking about people who are engaged in a radical process of transforming reality. For me, one of the greatest challenges for this kind of people in the end of this century and the beginning of the next century is precisely the question of power and the question of the reinvention of power. I think, Alexander, that in some aspects, as far as I am understanding your course at this university, as an economist, as far as I could get some spirit, some intention of your course, you touch this question. You also touch these questions as an economist, thinking about, even though maybe you never make reference to power, to the extent that you are studying with the students a central question, which is the question of knowledge and the production of knowledge. And also, you are touching another very important question, which is what means development without presence of people, and what has to mean development economy with the participation of people. Then I am sure that it has to do with the recreation of power. And for me, then, the revolution today, of course, has to take the power of the bourgeoisie, but not in the order to preserve this power, but in the order to reinvent this power. Because taking the bourgeois power and preserving it is a way of, in many aspects, just repeating the old process. And now I go directly again to you. But the reinvention of power, which is a political thing, philosophical thing, epistemological thing, the reinvention of power comes through, that's right, comes through the reinvention of production. No, it is impossible to replace a certain kind of power without replacing a certain way of producing. It should be idealism. No, first changing the nature of power and afterwards changing the nature of economics. No. We have to do simultaneously, not to wait. Simultaneously. And the reinvention of production comes through the real participation of the mass of the people. That is, the mass of the people have to know in favor of whom and of what to produce choose. I cannot understand how a country whose people don't know shoe can export shoes. Unless the exportation of shoes, or what we could get from exporting shoes, were being applied in order to start making it pass for the people to have shoes. That is, the people have to be a participant of what is being done in their area. And I am sure that the more the people come with, this is what I call naming. Okay, I would like to tell you that naming for me means getting command on history. It's not just a question of say, hello, how are you? No. Naming is getting power. Naming is transforming, is participation, real participation. Then, to the extent that the mass of the people in this or that way come much more next to the production, economical production, material production, they also begin to become next to the production of knowledge. And in a first moment, by changing production and power, reinventing production and power, the mass of the people begin to know better what they already knew. The more they come next to production, they begin to learn how to produce the knowledge which does not exist yet. And it is democracy for me. Not what we have here. When I say here, excuse me, it's not in Amherst, it's here in the world.